International aid agencies are rushing to get food and shelter to the Bahamas, where 70,000 people have been left homeless from Hurricane Dorian. The death toll now stands at 43, but that's expected to rise, with hundreds of people still missing and buried under rubble. The International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies is facilitating relief work on the ground, and the agency's Janelle Eli joins me from the capital, Nassau. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
It has been a week since the hurricane hit the Bahamas. Can you give us a sense now of how widespread the damage is?
So certainly the damage is widespread. There are pockets that are more damaged than others on the islands and the Keys. At the beginning of this disaster, there were a lot of people who were waiting on things like emergency shelter, water, medical care. A lot of those people have actually evacuated the island at this point and are either staying with family or friends in Nassau or in government-run evacuation centers, or some are even in the U.S. But there are still pockets of people who are in need, desperate need of help on both islands.
Go ahead, please.
Yesterday, I went to the island of Abaco, and I've just never seen anything like it in my life. There were neighborhoods completely flattened. There were roofs that were totally picked up and twisted by the wind. I was in a school that was serving as an evacuation shelter, and the library books had clearly just been picked up by the wind and thrown around, and it was just a real scene of devastation.
I mean, I read one comment from Mark Green, the head of the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, saying that he compared it to like witnessing the aftermath of a nuclear bomb. I mean, are you surprised at the extent of devastation left in this hurricane's wake?
I certainly think that we all hear things in the news or from friends who've experienced disasters about the horrors of what it looks like, but being there on the ground, it's absolutely heartbreaking. You just see people's homes. These are homes that people have built for generations or lived in their whole life, and it really just touches you when you see that they've just been ripped apart in days or hours or sometimes minutes. And so that was a difficult experience. But people, I have to say, people are really hurting, but they're also so resilient and so strong. People are really proud they were able to keep their family members alive, or that they were able to evacuate. Even though they don't have anything physically with them, they were glad they had their loved ones.
You mentioned that some people have gone to the United States. Some people are in evacuation centers. In total, there's something like 70,000 people left homeless. Where are the bulk of them?
So right now, it's actually an ever-changing situation. People are moving from island to island, depending on where their family and friends are, depending on where they think they can get to. So we'll know more about the numbers in the days and weeks to come. But I think that movement of people really reflects the uncertainty that people are facing. So many families lost their source of income along with their houses. They also lost their neighborhoods, which is, you know, living near their friends or at their school. And so I think really the road ahead is very long as far as their recovery, and that uncertainty has been really weighing on people's minds.
And the death toll stands at 43, I think, currently. That is expected to rise. Do you know how many people are missing?
Right now, I don't have an exact figure of how many people are missing, but certainly I've heard many stories of people who aren't able to get in touch with their loved ones. At the Red Cross, that's actually something we're really focusing on in the coming days and weeks, is talking to people, figuring out who they haven't gotten in touch with, and seeing if we can let them use our satellite phones, our long-distance phones, or other forms of connectivity so that they can get in touch with people either abroad or on other islands or in other communities that haven't been heard from yet. That bringing people that peace of mind is really critical.
And so beyond providing that sort of support, what's the major emergency relief effort that the Red Cross is doing? What does that involve?
Right now at the Red Cross, we're focusing on these urgent needs. It's things like emergency shelter kits for people who are still on the islands. That's things like tarps, hammers, nails, rope, so that they can simply repair a little bit of their shelters and stay safe. Water purification items are important because dirty water can cause secondary humanitarian crisis, and disease is certainly a mounting threat. We're also providing help in Nassau to the evacuation centers. So things like hygiene items are really important. Things like clothing for people who've lost everything, and even dried food parcels. So we'll definitely be working alongside the Bahamas Red Cross, of course, who's taking the lead for the Red Cross here. We'll be working for a long time in order to meet people's needs.
And what are the challenges in terms of getting the supplies to some of those worst affected areas? You mentioned you'd flown over them. How difficult is it getting these materials in there?
So disasters always present logistical challenges, but especially in island nations like this, where you really depend on ports and helipads and landing strips in order to get aid in. The aid to access to a lot of places has certainly opened up, but there are other communities where the bridges are still out or the ports are out. And so that certainly is presenting logistical challenges, though in the last days, certainly access has opened up and aid is arriving quicker and quicker.
And are you getting enough international support? I mean, that's clearly what is needed.
This is going to be a massive humanitarian effort. I am so grateful for the generosity of both the international community and the Bahamian community here, but there certainly is more to be done. I would encourage people to get in touch with their Red Cross or Red Crescent Society to see how they could help. But I also would love to take the opportunity just to tell people to take this moment to make your own disaster plan, to maybe learn first aid so that you can help prepare your own community for disasters if they strike.
Janelle Eli, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Bye. Janelle Eli is from the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Society, speaking to us there from the Bahamas.